not exist. A world whereby Satan has entangled our emotions and our mindset to make us forget that reality will one day set in. I wish I had a prayer in church. I'm almost done. Midnight can be a time in the spiritual world, Brother Frazier, when you are trying to do ministry, when you're trying to do the very best that you possibly can. You're trying to teach, you're trying to preach, you're trying to sing, whatever the ministry you hold, but there's all kinds of opposition with the ministry. That can be a midnight. Paul and Silas, this was the case for them. Paul had been delivered. You know, he had an experience on the Damascus Road, and while he was on the Damascus Road, we know the story of how God arrested him. Paul began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, there was a slave girl who had been impacted or affected, if you will, with the spirit of divination. She had the ability to tell fortunes. This little girl began to follow Paul and Silas as they preached the word of God, and all she would say was, "These men are from the Most High. They show us the way of salvation." But Paul got annoyed with the little girl, even though what she was saying was true. But it's something about when the devil is trying to help you preach your sermon. Y'all better say something up in here. When Satan is trying to, oh, come on now. When Satan is trying to help you to preach your sermon, it will annoy you. Such is the case with Paul. Well, Paul turns with the power that Jesus had placed within him. He turns and he casts the spirit of divination out of the little girl. Well, that was a problem. It was a problem because now her handlers were not making money off of her. Paul had messed up the economics of the day. I don't know if you know that about or not, but if you read Acts, you would discover that the first government close down or shutdown happened during Paul's day. When he told that girl, "You're not going to follow me anymore with this kind of mess," there was a government shutdown. The economics got funny. So the people of that day decided that they would trump up charges on Paul. They began to say he's throwing our city in confusion. He is preaching a gospel that is not the gospel that we are familiar with. He is trying to proselytize or change or convert us into Judaism. He took them, that is, the handlers, to the magistrate's courts and told them about what Paul and Silas was doing. Paul and Silas get put in prison for doing the right thing. I want to pause right there and say, I don't know about you today, but have you ever got shackled in prison in your mind because you were doing the right thing and got you in trouble? When you know what you were doing was right, when you know what you were doing was on the point, when you know what you were saying was accurate, but yet you got in trouble because of what you said. I don't know if anybody ever been there. Amen. I don't know if you ever said something. You didn't mean any harm. You was trying to do the right thing. But the right thing ended up being the wrong thing. Oh, that's a midnight situation. Here we are in the text today. Come on, in the text as we hurry to a close. In the text today, in the text, Paul and Silas is in prison. They are in a dungeon of their life. Now, it wasn't like the prison that we have today. It was more of a filthy type of thing, more of a secluded where you would have to be stopped hand and feet. They were in this prison. But I began to look at how Paul and Silas handled their midnight. They didn't complain. They didn't become depressed. They didn't become discouraged. They didn't say, "Lord, why have you done this?" They didn't question the reality of God. The Bible said they simply at midnight began to pray and sing praises unto God. Can I stop for a moment and let you know something? Let me tell you something. Regardless of the paths that life take you down, regardless of the valleys that you may find yourself in, don't feel bad about yourself. You just look up and thank God for where you are. You got to give him praise. You got to let the somebody said, but God. But God, you meant it for evil, but God. I want to tell you something. I've discovered that when you put but God in the equation, it changes the dynamic. It changes the situation when you put God in the situation. The Bible says at midnight they began to pray and sing praises unto God. Now, Minister Allen, I don't want to beat up on preachers, but I got to say this. I've heard so many preachers preach this sermon, and they always talk about, I don't know who was doing the praying, and I don't know who was doing the singing. Then they come up with this scenario. They say, well, maybe since Paul's name starts with the P, he prayed. And maybe because Saul's name starts with an S, he sang. And I've seen folks start shouting over there. Yeah, Paul prayed because his name started with a P, and Silas sung because his name started with an S. But when I read the Bible, it says to me, watch this, let me make sure I'm reading this correctly. Verse 25 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Watch this now. Y'all, somebody help me with this. So Paul and Silas prayed, watch this, and sang praise. Now, I don't have to be all that theological sound. That simply tells me they both engaged in prayer. Oh, Lord, and mercy. And praises. You know, sometimes, when we in those situations, when we're in a midnight situation, sometimes you got to let folk know. You got to sometimes you got to have some help. You got to call on somebody who knows the Lord. Somebody that can come beside you and help you and lift you in your praise moment. Somebody that know how to get a praise through. Somebody that know how to pray and tell God all about the situation. You don't need nobody to hang around you that don't know how to praise God, that don't know how to pray to God, because there is some time when you're in a midnight situation, you need to be able to call on somebody and say, I need you to help me pray and sing praises unto God. The Bible says, and the prisoners, watch this, heard them. Can I tell you something? When you're all shackled in your mind, shackled in your emotions, the thing that will free you is praise. You gotta understand this. Praise will free you every time. I don't care what the job, I don't care what the problem may be, I don't care how tired up you think you are, if you can find a moment to praise God, Lord have mercy. That's why it's good to come to Christian choir rehearsal and learn some praise songs, because God wanna know, do you trust me in the middle of your midnight? Even though I know you're in midnight, but I wanna know, do you trust me? And one of the ways that I know you trust me is when you can look up and praise me anyhow. When you can praise him anyhow. See, you got to know God when you're having a sunshine day. You got to also know him when you're having a midnight. See, you can't watch this now. You can't follow, oh Lord have mercy. It's hard to trust God at midnight. If you're having issues with him when everything is going well. Some of us won't even pray to God until we experience midnight. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't know how to pray because when everything seems to be going well, we don't lift a finger. We don't tell God, we don't thank him, we don't praise him, we don't pray to him, we don't do anything. Can I say God just told me to tell you something? Praising God is more than a Sunday morning worship thing. Praising God is a lifestyle for the believer. Praising God is not something you do in service. Praising God is something you do every day. Because the Bible says every day is a day of thanksgiving. The Bible says when they began to praise God. And the prisoner heard them. But I love 26 says, and suddenly there was a great, not just an earthquake, but it was a great earthquake. Not just an earthquake. See, you know when God has heard you, because something begins to happen. Can I get a witness? It wasn't the fact that they were shouting to the top of their lungs. It was the fact that their praise was genuine. We shout. What he is concerned about is how genuine You are. See, it doesn't matter what I think about you. But what matters is what God thinks. And God will move when there's a genuine prayer. Oh my God. Now, some of us will have a hard time right there because we're not genuine people. We're people who are very manipulative, very deceitful, tell lies.
Did the sun out?
No. And you look at the sun.
Oh man, let me go on back. See, I can stop right there
and make somebody mad. But you gotta understand, when there's a genuine prayer, God will open up a door when it's coming from the heart. You may not be in tune, but if it's a hard thing, God don't care whether you got the note or not, because he's looking at the heart. Can I get a witness here? Paul, let me hurry up. My time is running. I told you I was going to be about 15 minutes. But I got to move on. They began to pray and sing praises unto God. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. You better watch how you use your midnights, because somebody is looking at you. Can I get a witness here? If you call yourself a child of God, you better be careful how you handle your midnights. Because based upon how you handle your midnights will determine how somebody else will be set free. Can I get a witness here? Because Paul and Silas genuine praise, the Bible says the prisoners heard, and God shows up and he sends an earthquake. And the Bible says that everybody that was in bondage became free. Can I get a witness here? You know there had to be an act of God, because I don't read where no one else was shaken up. It was only the prison. Can I get a witness? God can move in mysterious ways. I wish I had a praying church. It doesn't matter how dark your midnight is. You just look up and praise God. You got to thank him for the good days, and you thank him for the bad days. Can I get a witness here? You can't let nobody stop your praise. You got to let the Lord know how genuine you are. Can I get a witness? Because the devil will mean it for your bad, but God, somebody say God mean it for your good. Can I get a witness here? So in your midnight, you got to praise God like you never praised him before. You don't have to complain about the situations. You just go down in prayer and tell God all about it. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I can praise God all by myself. Can I get a witness here? God will wake you up in the midnight hours. You're trying to figure out why you're awake. Maybe God is telling you, I want to spend a little time with you. Can I get a witness here? And sometimes in the midnight hours, God wants you to commune with him. He wants you to praise him. He wants you to pray to him. Don't wake up and get on Facebook, but wake up and get on God. I wish I had a prayer church. Don't wake up taking emails, but wake up and say, Lord, it's a reason that I'm up this time of the morning. Can I get a witness here? Apparently you're trying to tell me something, because sometimes God will speak when everything is quiet, when he got you in a peaceful state, when it's nobody but you and him, and he's trying to minister to you. But some of us miss God because we wake up with other stuff on our minds, trying to take the call for all the time of night, seeing if they're home and seeing if they're doing what they need to do. If you got to check behind folk, maybe that's God telling you, you don't. Oh, you mercy, I'm out of energy, but y'all don't see that. But when you praise God, when you give him all that he has, come on, somebody. When you praise him in your midnight time, God will open a door for you. To do what?
To
set you free. A lie will tangle up. Tangle you up. That's why you can't have folk lying to you. You trying to be set free, they still lying. Now you already know the truth, they been lying. You can't ever be free because they keep lying. Truth, I don't care how bad it is. Baby, I gotta tell you the truth, I'm sorry. I gotta tell you the truth. Why? Because I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth is what's gonna bring you to freedom. Huh? The more I keep lying to you, the more I'm gonna tangle you up. Huh? But if I want you to become free, I gotta tell you the wrong side of truth. Because truth makes you what? Free. And the Bible says when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, watch this now. The Bible says the jailer even began to, he was wondering, should he kill himself? Because he felt like all of the prisoners had been released, they had gotten away. But it was Paul that said, oh no, don't do yourself no harm. See, midnight is also considered a time when you want to do something to yourself. The emotions are running so high. Y'all ain't gonna be honest. And you feel like the best thing for you is to be out of here. You want to take your life. See, I'm not talking to some real folk. That's a midnight time. When you feel like you just want to get, you want to go, you're tired of it. Huh? You're tired of it. See, y'all looking at me and you won't be honest, but let me tell you something. There's some folk I'm looking at right now. You ain't told me that now. There's some folk I'm looking at right now. You done had suicidal thoughts. You done thought about doing something to yourself because of zigzags of life. But I'm going to tell you something. That's midnight. That's a midnight. You need to connect with somebody that can give you the word of the Lord. Because Paul came behind this man and said, sir, don't do yourself no harm. Don't do yourself no harm. We're all here. Why did this man, why was he set free? He was set free because Paul told us the truth. We're here. Don't do yourself no harm. And because of the way Paul and Silas handled their midnight, watch what the jailer said. He said, sir, what must we do to be saved? Can I stop right here? I'm almost done. Can I pray something? How many folk that you have impacted, they have come to you because of the way you handle life and because of the way you handle your midnight, and they ask you, can you tell me something? What do I need to do to be saved? See, if that has not happened, you're not living out your purpose for living. Because if you got it going on like that, somebody ought to be able to come to you and say, can you tell me, what do I need to do? Here it is in the script. It's in the text. It's in the text. This man was so caught up in what they done and how they handled their midnights, he wanted to know what he needed to do. Because if you can pray to a God that will send an earthquake and set everybody free, and they're still here, I need to know, what God are you serving? Who is this God? Folks stay away from church because they see the dirt we do.
All right.
Oh, man.
And they are saying, God ain't all that to you because look at what you're doing.
All right.
Folk won't respect your Christianity outside of the church if you're living one thing inside and something else outside. I don't care how you quiet. I don't care how you. I'm gonna say this now. I don't want nobody to talk about it in the choir. I don't care how you sing. I don't care how you pray. I don't care how you direct. I don't care what you do. When you leave up out of here, you got some foolishness going on. Folks not gonna respect you. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes folks that live with us don't respect us because they know what we do outside of the church. You can play all of the gospel you want to play on Sunday morning. But look what we've been doing Monday through Friday. And you hold it on Sunday morning until I pray in the Lord. Sit your tail down. But when they see how you handle the midnight, come on somebody. You can bring folk to Christ. That's what it's all about. You can bring folk to Christ. Because of the way you handle your midnight. Don't complain. Don't complain. Because life took you down a path that you didn't particularly care for. Don't complain. You say, Lord, here I am. And what I'm going to do now is just praise you and thank you.